Earlier this year, researchers from the Cancer Hospital Chris O'Brien Lighthouse and Sydney's Royal Prince Alfred Hospital published a new study in the journal Oral Oncology that showed an alarming rise in tongue cancers amongst young women. So why is this potentially fatal cancer, which is traditionally found in older men with a history of heavy tobacco smoking and drinking, affecting a demographic with none of the known risk factors? Tina Quinn has this report.
Despite a steady decrease in the number of people who smoke over the last three decades, a new research study has shown the number of tongue cancer diagnoses in young women has soared by an alarming 385%. Traditionally, patients diagnosed with oral cancers tended to be males with a history of heavy tobacco use and excessive drinking. Associate Professor Carsten Palm, Director of the Head and Neck Cancer Service at Chris O'Brien Lifehouse, was one of the researchers who conducted the study.
Over the last few years, we have seen a significant and, I guess, disturbing rise in this cancer developing in young, non-smoking women. This is a patient group which really does not have any of the traditional social or patient risk factors. And we have seen that rise occurring quite steadily, not just in our country, but actually in a number of Western countries around the world.
Professor Palm said that they were also able to rule out the human papillomavirus, also known as HPV, as a causative factor.
The human papillomavirus is significantly a causative factor for throat cancer. And I think this is where we need to distinguish between what's the throat and what's the mouth. Now, the throat is an area at the back of your mouth, which includes tonsils and what we call the posterior or base of tongue. And that area has a lot of lymphoid tissue, and that is actually the tissue that is most often affected by the human papillomavirus. So the mouth cavity, which extends from the lips at the front to just the front of the tonsils in the back, actually does not include any significant lymphoid tissue. And in short answer, the HPV virus has not been found to be a causative factor in mouth cancer. Now, we are performing a significant amount of research into the causes of mouth cancer in young women, and particularly my colleague, Professor Ruda Gupta, who we work with at Royal Prince Alfred Hospital. We have embarked on a tissue banking program where we are looking at the specimens of these patients, and we have found some genetic disturbances. Now, when we look at what causes cancer, it's basically the cancer cells are affected by genes that either promote their growth or stop them from dying. So what we have found is that a gene that codes for a tumor suppressor gene called TP53 is abnormal. And so what it suggests that whatever factor is causing these cancers develop in young women, it is interfering with that gene. So that's the first thing that we have identified.
Tongue cancer is often hard to detect, with very few symptoms such as one or more ulcers that seemingly don't heal.
So I think in terms of mouth cancer, you know, you've got the lining of the mouth or the mucosa, and I would say that any sort of breach of that mucosa which forms an ulcer or an irregular area that causes some discomfort or causes bleeding and doesn't go away within, you know, a short period of a matter of 1 or 2 weeks really deserves a closer inspection and review by a person who can confidently rule out any more significant pathology.
I asked Professor Palm whether dentists would play a crucial role in the detection of these cancers going forward and whether or not they had the proper training to do so.
They are probably best placed at being able to pick some of these abnormalities up at an early stage, which then generally would allow patients to be treated promptly. I guess one of the problems is with our dental colleagues, they tend to focus on the teeth and the soft tissues around the teeth you know, is slightly incidental. We are going through a significant education process, and together with the Australian Dental Association, we've actually been embarking on giving a lot of lectures, not just within Sydney, but certainly also in the regional areas, to educate dentists towards the signs and symptoms of mouth cancer, and be able to give them, you know, options of how to manage these patients promptly. To this point, I would say that the custodians of head and neck cancer are really the head and neck surgeon. And I think it is really important for those dentists or primary caregivers to identify somebody that they can reliably and promptly refer a patient to when they see them.
ABC journalist James Bullen was alarmed when he saw the increasing numbers of tongue cancer in women, with seemingly little to no risk factors. He interviewed Rachel Carruthers, a 34-year-old linguist, who last year underwent treatment for tongue cancer.
She had to have part of her tongue taken out as part of their treatment for her cancer and reconstructed by taking tissue from other parts of her body. And that was very difficult for her in the early stages because she had quite a difficult recovery. It took a long time. She wasn't able to eat or drink for quite a while. And she actually worked as, and still works as, a linguist. So it's kind of her bread and butter to be able to speak clearly and to be able to understand other speech. And so she had to learn how to use her tongue again to speak. She says she's made quite a good recovery, so she's mostly back to normal, but there's still, you know, pain and healing that has to take place over, you know, a period of months and even years before she's fully back to normal.
I asked Professor Palm what long-term effects that patients who have been treated with tongue cancer could expect.
So what we're hoping generally is that patients don't have any long-term effects. So I guess everything we aim to do is provide a very prompt and personalised evidence-based approach to patients that aims to cure the cancer and significantly reduce morbidity. And I think this is why it's so important for patients to be treated in a high-volume head and neck centre and be seen by high-volume surgeons, because not only are the outcomes in terms of survival better, but also the outcomes in reducing morbidity and improving functionality are far superior. So I think that when we remove tumours, basically this will interfere with all the basic function of speaking, swallowing and breathing. And what we have recognised, that prompt and state-of-the-art reconstruction using free tissue grafts from the leg or the arm, which are kind of re-implanted with microsurgery to patch these defects, you know, not just soft tissue but also bone, and importantly, providing patients with a dental, you know, prompt dental rehabilitation, which is often forgotten, will lead to far superior outcomes.
Associate Professor Carsten Palm, Director of the Head and Neck Cancer Service at Chris O'Brien Lifehouse, speaking there with Tina Quinn.